Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Morning Show. The home team. No, it's both. It's the crossover.
Crossover. Step back.
Right here on 960theref.com.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. This is episode 164 of the crossover. Dave and Jeff along with you. Thanks so much again for joining us this holiday week. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. And we are thankful for those of you that definitely tune in to the Crossover Podcast every week. Thanks so much. Of course, you can get it on the beautiful 960 The Ref app. Of course, in the App Store for your iPhone or Google Play for your Android. We are there for you. Mr. Dantzla, how are you today?
DJ, doing good. Happy Thanksgiving to you and Carol and Kingsley. And I know it'll be a well-deserved day off. You might actually get to sleep until, you know, 5 a.m. or something.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, when I sleep till 6 a.m., that's sleeping in. Yeah, so, yeah, thank you. And same to you and Emily and Hermie and the great Albus.
Yeah.
You guys having your first Thanksgiving together with all the pups.
Yeah, looking forward to it and definitely thankful that we're having games right now because, you know, there was that time back in June, July, and obviously it's not ideal with the way everything's gone. But thankful that we're playing. You know, basketball's cranking up right now. Thankful to get that going. And I love Thanksgiving. And again, taking all of the connotations out of all the holidays, the Thanksgiving and the 4th of July have always been my two favorite holidays. And one of the big things is, and again, no religious overtones here, but in Thanksgiving, you got two big factors. A, there's not the pressure of gifts and presents.
Correct.
And then B, Thanksgiving is a tremendous sports day, and Christmas Day is a pretty lame sports day. You know, and even this year it won't be quite as good. But you've got those basketball tournaments going on in Maui and Alaska, and then and obviously it's a tremendous football day. So Thanksgiving's always been at the top of the list for me.
Now, are those tournaments? They're not going on this week.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think
it's just.
We are recording this on Tuesday, the 24th. So we're on the eve of basketball opening,
right,
too. You've got a game tomorrow at Mercer.
The team will be at Mercer.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And the men open at 5 o'clock against Columbus State. So basketball, although the men have already had a cancellation for Sunday, they're trying to find a replacement game for that. But again, we're recording this on a Tuesday, so by the time you're listening to it, things could be completely blown up. The SEC's already changed up its schedule a little bit, too, for football. And this is paving the way for, I think, Georgia. They haven't made the announcement for Georgia and Missouri to play on the 12th.
So is the look right now, are they talking Missouri and Vandy on the 19th? Is that what they're leaning? Because I know that game was scheduled for the 12th. And by the way, on the 12th as well, we also have a men's and women's basketball game that day. So that'll more on that later. But
I'm sure that we're going to see lots of these kind of situations happen. So here's the deal in the SEC, and this was just announced yesterday. So Arkansas at Missouri has been postponed because of Arkansas with COVID. So Tennessee at Vandy has also been postponed to allow Vandy to play at Missouri this Saturday.
Oh, boy.
So Vandy and Missouri are playing this Saturday. Vanderbilt was previously scheduled to play at Missouri earlier this year, but that game was postponed, and then they were going to play it December 12th. So the rescheduled Vandy-Missouri game will be televised SEC Network. It says the conference will attempt to reschedule the Arkansas, Missouri, and Tennessee Vandy games later this season, potentially December 19th. But I think what they're doing is now Georgia will play at Missouri on December 12th. That's kind of the thinking here.
That'd be fine with me. I just hope we get them all in. Again, that will be an insanely crazy day. But, yeah, we've got to get all these games in the best we can. One of the things, too, and hopefully Georgia can take care of business and get South Carolina and Vanderbilt, can you say blizzard potential? Dave, you know, we're close to the same age and grew up very similarly. I know I've seen a Chiefs game or two played in December where there's been a lot of snow coming down. Yep. So, you know, who knows what we could get going out there.
It could be one of those weird things like, we thought they were going to play on the 19th, and we thought, oh, there could be snow. Now, if that game is played on the 12th, it could be one of those situations where the 12th could be nasty and the 19th could be a nice weekend. You just don't know.
You don't know. So yeah. But again, all of this could change so many times, you know, and Dave, I feel for you so much because you have to schedule a lot of these. You are both you're front of house and back of house, so you're both on the air and you have to do all the planning and scheduling, and you know, it's just one of those deals. I think I don't want to say we've gotten used to it, or even, you know, I hate that term, the new normal, but I guess it's just one of those things we've kind of been forced to accept that a lot of things are going to change. And as you pointed out, as we record this on a Tuesday afternoon, when this broadcast comes out, three or four things might have changed again.
Exactly. We just don't know right now.
And then, you know, then you start, you look at it, you know, let's just say looking ahead to basketball, if there's a cancellation here or there for a game, well, then the tip-off times move to try and fill different time slots. There's just so much that could happen here. And obviously the pros is a completely different animal. But I thought the NFL did a really good job a few weeks ago looking forward and maneuvering games around to make sure that everybody would get their 16 in. I think there was one team, it might have been the Titans, who might have had two off weeks in a row.
Yeah, it was getting a little goofy there for a second, but they were able to get it.
They were. And, you know, to kind of spin that into something, that's also another example. And before the season started, Kevin Butler said he felt like that injuries and depth would be an even bigger factor this year because you're just not going through your normal training in terms of getting ready in the spring. We all know that the preseason camp looked completely different. And then it's one thing to understand, too, that, you know, let's say if you were sick, if you did have the COVID, and you've got to have whatever it is, that the 10, 12, 14-day quarantine, well, you're missing practice time, so you're not going to be up to speed. I ran into one of the Georgia power couples, ran into Hunter Cole and now Marion Crowder Cole the other day, great baseball player and a great soccer player. And Hunter brought that up, too, and he said, just not going through your training. And I said, well, you think about you for baseball. You miss 2 days of batting practice. You're off.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So just, I mean, there's so many factors that go into this. You know, anybody who has a good season this year, you deserve a double gold star.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, because it is nuts, and it's unlike any other. And I know we've all said a million times, hopefully we'll be past all of this soon. And, you know, it's just, good gosh, Dave, when we look back on this year, years from now, I don't even know what month it is. And like I said, and I love the conversation you and Bill Shanks had talking about sports being a part of the calendar. Like, usually right now, I am no fun this week because it's Tech Week.
Yeah.
And I'm in full freak out mode. Well, yeah, obviously I ought to beat South Carolina too, but it's different. It's not Tech Week. Everything just feels strange and odd. And I think when you guys had that conversation on the morning show, that was something that really hit home, the calendar in sports, because even when we were rolling into November, remember, we played Kentucky on Halloween.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going into November. You know, when I was growing up, that was games 9, 10, and 11, and that was it. And now you're thinking, okay, we're going into November, but then you're also thinking, well, we've only played 5 games, so we should be in, what, the first or second Saturday of October.
Right.
Just everything is just off.
Yeah, you're right. It is. It is. It's strange. And, you know, we've been going now for almost 9 minutes, and, you know, we haven't even talked about the dogs yet. No. We've been talking about everything else, and definitely wanted to get into Saturday's game, the win over Mississippi State, and the game coming up this Saturday against South Carolina. JT Daniels finally gets on the field.
Yeah, he played great, and I think, too, that the triumvirate of receivers there, Pickens, Burton, and Jackson were all terrific. I thought Mississippi State played a great game. You know, we all know Mike Leach is a really good coach, and that's one of those I texted my buddy, our buddy Vance Levy, and said, like, hey, you know that quarterback, Will Rogers, is just a freshman. We're going to be out there in 2 years. He goes, dang, those cowbells are going to be clanging. So, and I also want to give Mississippi State credit. I would bet the last dollar I have that they could have gotten out of this game. Friday morning, it was, you and I had texted some, it was beyond touch and go. I would say it looked like a less than 50% chance that we were going to play. But they found a way, and they came out here obviously shorthanded. I thought they played a great game. And again, that was another one of those games that if you didn't have a dog in the fight between these two Bulldogs, you would say, man, that was really a great football game. And it was. And, you know, and obviously we're so beaten up. And I know you could say, well, the depth. And yeah, Georgia, you know, does have better depth. But when you look in particular, not having Jordan Davis and Richard LeCount, and yes, injuries affect every team, but when you get hit like that, you're just not going to be the same.
Right.
And I think if you went through and looked, and I can't remember if you said it or maybe if it was Walker or Tyler or Kevin Butler, whoever.
It all runs together.
I know, but if you went out there and said, okay, you're playing Georgia, you get to pick two guys on that defense who aren't going to play. It's Davis and LeCount.
Those are the two you pick.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And you just think about what Davis could do when he gets that push in the middle of the line, how it frees everybody else up. And LeCount, not only is he a great player with a great nose for the football, but you're talking about a guy, he's the quarterback of the defense.
Yep.
He's calling
yep.
all the signals back there.
Yep.
So, you know, like I said, if Georgia can beat South Carolina, beat Vanderbilt, and then go out there and win in a blizzard against Missouri to go 8-2, that's a tremendous season.
Yeah, it's a great year. It really is, all things considered.
And I think, too, DJ, also just what, you know, what we saw from Daniels, because the quarterback play has certainly been a struggle for this team for most of the season. And for Daniels to come in, I think it gave some oomph for the rest of the way, and certainly looking into 2021 as well.
Well, the Dogs will be going up against Mike Bobo and not Will Muschamp on Saturday. So we knew it was going to be a former Georgia player, just not the one we thought.
So what's the theme of this week? New faces. So you got Mike Bobo in place of Will Muschamp, JT Daniels, and also South Carolina, their true freshman, Luke Doty, came in against Missouri. And I'll give South Carolina a lot of credit because going through a coaching change in season, I know it's difficult. They were down 17-0 at the half. You're probably thinking, well, they could just mail this in. They fought back, made it 17-10, and had a chance. So I think you have to give them a lot of credit for that. But Doty is one of those guys. He was the number one prospect in South Carolina. But then that also gets back to, and I think we had all talked about this before the season, DJ, that for South Carolina, by no means am I criticizing their handling of anything, but they had Ryan Helinski. He was coming back. He was a highly touted guy. And they recruit in Doty, you know, an in-state, big time. But then you bring in the grad transfer, too. That's just one where you think, how is that sitting within the team?
Yeah, because Helinski was the established guy, and then Bobo brings his guy, Colin Hill. And, yeah, now we're seeing Doty. So it's just, I mean, probably it's just a little bit of the summation of the season that South Carolina has had.
Well, and we talked about this, too. You think about they fired their head coach, who was a defensive guy, and they lost games where they gave up 48 and 59. Mm-hmm. And then they hire their offensive guy, and they just scored 10 points.
Yes.
So probably for South Carolina fans, they're saying, what?
Can't figure this out.
They can't figure it out
at all.
But we do know that South Carolina does have some talent. Their defensive line is very good. I mean, guys like Rick Sandage and Zach Pickens, and we all followed the recruiting tale of Jordan Burch is going to be one for the ages there. But what it has really hurt them, and certainly when you saw what Georgia did against Mississippi State, when you think about the game Makamura had against us last year with the three picks, then J.C. Horn, who was Joe Horn's kid,
right.
That was a great pair of corners, and they both they both shut it down for the rest of the season. So now, if you're Georgia, you got to be thinking, well, that they're probably going to stack it up and try and take away the run. So can that trio of receivers go out and make those plays again?
Yeah, and you know, after what we saw this past weekend, you know, Georgia, you know, getting back to the Mississippi State game for a second, but it was, you know, all through the air and nothing on the ground.
Nothing on the – Dave, that's got to be 8 yards rushing. That's got to be the fewest yards we've ever had in a win. And I would say the only game, and this was a loss, obviously, but the 93 game at Florida where we had Shannon Mitchell line up next to Eric Zier, and we were – yeah, we threw over 60 times. Now, a lot of those were little shuttle passes. Yeah. That's the only game I can think of when our rush yardage would have been potentially in the single digits.
Right. Well, I mean, for Mike Leach to lose to a team that only ran for 8 yards,
gosh.
I mean, because he technically they outrushed Georgia.
I know.
How often does he outrush the opponent? Hardly ever.
I know.
And, you know, the Dogs still ended up winning the game.
No doubt.
Just weird.
It is.
Just it's all part of 2020, I think.
It is part of 2020, and that's one, and especially, I mean, and obviously, you got to be able to move the ball on the ground and through the air. Great teams can score on big plays and can score on long drives. But when you think about the history of Georgia football, and by the way, Wally Butt's teams in the 40s passed it great with Sinkwich and Trippi and Johnny Roush, but Trippi and Sinkwich were great runners.
Yep.
You know, even into the 60s with – you know, guys like Kent Lawrence and Ronnie Jenkins. Georgia had great runners. You know, Kevin McClee and Willie McClendon. Then, obviously, Herschel Walker on through Worley and Henderson and Hampton. Garrison Hurst in 92. Robert Edwards in 97. Noshon in 07. Sony, Nick, Swift, those guys. Georgia's greatest teams are tremendous running football teams.
Yeah.
And the really great ones, you can complement that with passing. And, you know, Georgia's going to always be a team that's looking to run the ball, and that's what Kirby wants to do. But, you know, the quarterback play had really been a struggle. I mean, you're talking about the previous three games, 8 interceptions. I mean, that's poor. It's hard to win doing that.
You can't win like that.
Especially, I mean, fortunately we beat Kentucky, but you know, against you throwing all those interceptions against Florida and Alabama, you don't have a chance. So that's where I think what Daniels did, and even if you wanted to peek ahead, you look at that triumvirate of receivers. Blaylock will be back. Marcus Roseby, Jack Sane will be back, and Georgia's backs should be very good again. And, you know, I have all the confidence in the world. We'll have to obviously wait and see who leaves and who comes back, that Matt Luke is going to have a very good offensive line. So I think the thing that you saw with Daniels, and basically the Georgia team this year, was missing one piece of the puzzle. And now you're thinking, like, okay, maybe we've got that piece.
Is he the one? Yeah, for sure.
I think there's definitely
room for it. Looked like it the other night.
It did. I mean, DJ, you're talking about, to me, the three big stats with quarterbacks, TD to interceptions, 4-0.
Yep.
Completion percentage, 28 out of 38. That's 71-72%. And then I think the other big one is the yards per attempt, not completion. Well, I'm no math major, but 401 yards on 38 attempts, that's more than 10 per.
It's over 10.
And now you think about DJ going back to the Florida game, Trask was 11 yards per attempt. We were 3.9.
Yeah.
No chance.
And remember, Georgia had a 14-0 lead in that
Florida
game,
yes.
Too.
Oh, yes.
Now, Mississippi State on Saturday also checked all the boxes. There were no turnovers for either team.
Mm-hmm.
And their freshman quarterback looked good. The Dogs were playing that, you know, what do you want to call it, that zone-ish, prevent-ish thing. So they got a lot of open looks. But, you know, when you look at it, their yards per attempt, I believe, were only about 5.5.
Right.
And you just mentioned Georgia's was over 10. So, you know, it was the difference in the game.
It certainly was, Dave. And the defense played a lot better in the second half. I mean, Kirby is terrific at the adjustments. And I thought in the fourth quarter in particular, and then, you know, again, how many times we've said it, you got to have your guys make plays. Azeez Ojulari is a great player. He has the sack to put it away.
Yep.
I mean, if they get that first down there, who knows? And probably if they get a TD there to make it 31-30, they're going for two to try and win the game right
Leach
there.
Leach isn't going to
No.
You're absolutely right.
So that was just a great play by Ojulari, and also a great punt by Kamara. And we had a couple of tough calls go against us. Although the one, I think it would have been a legal block years ago, but the Darnell Washington hit, that was nowadays, and maybe that's a penalty, but holy moly. Well,
that's the one, though, I never saw.
Though they never replayed
it. Yeah.
They never replayed
never
it.
Never saw that.
That was one you heard it, and then everybody just went, ooh.
Yeah. Because you were at the – I wasn't at the game. You were at the game, so you saw it. But if you were watching on TV, you never saw it.
Well, Kevin said he just – the box he was in, they had the bloop, bloop, the TiVo.
Okay.
He said it was just one of those classic where he blocked him straight up, but the guy – I guess they called it a blindside block. The guy just kind of turned into him. And then the really bad call we had, we had gotten a TFL, and they're looking at about a 3rd and 7, and Malik Herring got called for a 15-yard penalty. The guy just totally took a flop. So that was one where you're like, all right, that's a bad call. And then Kirby, when they waved off the intentional grounding, I was just picturing – my man Yosemite Sam with those pistols flaring and the steam coming out of the ears and his hat blowing off. He was losing his mind on that play. Holy moly. Yeah. But we found a way, and it was a great win. And looking forward to going to South Carolina on Thanksgiving week. Clemson's supposed to be playing South Carolina this weekend, right?
Well, no. They're playing Pitt, I think. Or is that Tech?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's going week to week.
It just doesn't make sense.
And that's when you go through the schedules, you go to the date or you go to the week, and you think, wait, November Thanksgiving, we're supposed to play. Oh, yeah, no, well, we're not. It's 2020.
So switching gears a little bit, both the basketball teams open their season tomorrow, as we were talking about. So what's your take on the men and the women?
I think the men have got a chance to be good. You know, obviously, you're not going to have that huge scoring threat in Edwards. Hammonds is going to be a loss, though. He was inconsistent. DJ, I think the big key is going to be, can these sophomores now really come together and carry this team? Coach Crean went out and did another excellent job of getting a couple of good grad transfers in there that I really think will help. But in the end, you're talking about having guys in the program, Wheeler, Kamara, who I think are both terrific, Christian Brown, I think, has a lot of potential. Can those guys really come together and be the nucleus of this team? I think it's going to be the key.
Yeah.
And we've got, we got to get the turnovers down, and obviously that's a lot of scoring that Georgia lost. But you could have, because last year was it 9 new faces? I think just some of that togetherness maybe and the ball movement that Georgia should have, I think will give us a chance. And one thing about Coach Crean's teams, they are fun to watch. I mean, just the style of play. Now, sometimes, you know, when you're turning it over a lot and you're trying to build, you might take a bad loss here and there, but they are up-tempo and they're fun to watch, which I've got to think is helpful in recruiting as well.
Yeah, you would think so. Yeah. And when you've got the number one overall pick, when you've got the track record that Coach Crean has had, yeah, that's definitely got to help in recruiting. Now just getting to the point where got to start winning some games. But I thought last year, you know, the Dogs had a chance to, I guess if they could have won one more game, they might have had a chance to be in the NIT. I don't know.
Right.
Weren't they 500, I guess?
Yeah, right at it. So, you know, here's the thing, too, just the if game.
Yeah.
If Nick Claxton's on that team last year, like he
totally
and Edwards together,
that's
an NCAA tournament team. But player retention, we all know, like I say, recruiting, that gets you the seat at the table, but it's the guys you keep that – could spell whether you have a great team or not.
And, too, you've got these, I guess they're grad transfers or transfers, too. If you could have had a couple of those guys last year, because that was one of the things that hurt, too, is that you have the superstar, but he's a freshman, young freshman, and you didn't have a whole lot of veteran leadership around him.
No, you didn't, and that's a great call. And like Donnell Gresham was very good, but again, yes, he was a senior and was experienced, but he hadn't been around, you know, these guys within the program, so – it is good, I think, to bring in those grad transfers. Again, the kids that have finished school at other places, and they can certainly come in and fill some holes. But this sophomore class, and hopefully a little help from the freshman class as well, I think this team's got a chance to hopefully get 500 or better in the league, and we all know how tough that is. I think the women have got a chance to be really good. This could be Joni's best team since her third year. There's some senior leadership there. We've got a transfer who's from the state of Georgia who went to UConn named Michaela Coombs, and so I think she's going to – kind of jump in there with Jenna Stady and Gabby Conley and Q Morrison and Maya Caldwell and give us a good bunch there. And then probably the top freshman is Jay Barker's daughter, yeah. Sarah Ashley Barker. So old Jay Barker broke our hearts back in 1994, and now his daughter's a top freshman here for Georgia.
So we'll have Jay Barker sightings for the Lady Dogs,
I would guess, and, yeah.
Now, he is married to the country music star Sarah Evans.
Right.
So
that's not her mother, though.
That's right. That's not her mom.
Right.
That's her stepmom.
Right.
But I don't know the family dynamic and all that
right,
stuff.
Right.
But, maybe they're Sarah Evans will be at Lady Dogs, some Lady Dogs.
No, that'd be cool. So it's... It's a neat thing anytime you get a kid like that in, but she's been committed since early in her junior year, and hopefully she'll be, another piece there. And, one of the things, too, with the Lady Dogs, and Dave, Joni, everybody loves her. She is awesome. Everybody mm-hmm. wants her to succeed, and it's a hard job to follow in the footsteps of a legend. And as you well know, my friend, trying to build in this league when there's so many yeah. superpowers all around you, it's a grind. And
it almost seems like, and maybe I'm wrong on this, because women's basketball has in the SEC has always been just brutally tough.
Yes.
Men's basketball really, it kind of picked up in the 80s.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And then in the 90s and early 2000s, I don't know if it, I don't want to say it dropped off or whatever.
Dipped a little
bit.
Remember
the SEC even like a few years ago hired was it Dave Gavitt or somebody to increase the, I don't know, not the importance, but just the what's being put
better
on
coaches,
basketball.
Better scheduling.
Yeah, and it's
paid off.
I mean,
when you think about this DJ that you've got. Talking about guys who've been to Final Fours. Now, you got Tom Crean, you got Rick Barnes, you got Bruce Pearl, and obviously we know Florida's been very good. Kentucky's always going to be very good. I mean, for Mississippi State to get Ben Howland, that guy went to 3 Final Fours with UCLA.
In a row.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
So there is no doubt, you're just talking about the level of play has gotten back up. And I don't know if it'll ever be like it was in the 80s when you had Dominique and Barkley and Jeff Malone and Dale Ellis.
Incredible.
I mean, it was unbelievable. Plus the characters, those coaches we had, but the league, and you're right, it had dipped there for a couple of years. And I think another thing, too, now this year obviously being the exception, but just I think the scheduling we've seen and an increase in the number of big-name opponents for everybody, the men's hoops has definitely gotten back up. And, the thing is, with Kentucky, the rising tide, Kentucky's going to be great. Florida, what they've done really since Billy Donovan got there has been terrific. But now, and obviously we want to see Georgia in that group, but Auburn has been very good. Mississippi State's good. Alabama, they've run through a lot of coaches. Heck, South Carolina went to a Final Four. Tennessee with Rick Barnes been just lights out. So the league is so tough. And good gosh, if you can get over 500, you've had a good year.
Well, Jeff, before we go, and again, we are recording this before Thanksgiving. This is on Tuesday. So I heard you say yesterday on the air, so you love some Thanksgiving mac and cheese,
mm-hmm.
and you love some mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I like the carbs.
were those the number two?
I like the stuffing.
Oh, yeah, I do, too.
No onions.
And do you like cranberry sauce?
Yeah, just on the side? Yeah,
I do.
Oh, for
I'll
sure.
I'll even eat it out of the can.
Now we're talking.
It looks like a Slinky when it comes out of the can.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
good with that, too.
No, it's
I'm
good.
Good with that.
Yeah, but I love, good. My mom makes an incredible dressing that's got some Cornish hen in it, too.
Oh,
and
nice.
It's
but no onions.
No onions. It's a meal in itself. So, yeah, those are my – and I love green beans and lima beans. My mom's a great cook. My grandmother was a great cook as well. And I remember when I was a little kid once saying to my mom, I go, Mom, you're just as good a cook as Grandma. I go, with exception of one thing, I go, your green beans aren't as good. She said, well, honey, that's because I don't put half a ham in the pot.
Exactly.
So what are your go-tos?
I'm
we all love the turkey.
I'm fairly traditional. I like turkey.
Yeah.
If ham's there, I'm fine. I like dressing, too. People who know what I look like, they know I'm not that picky as far as food goes. The one thing I think is interesting, though, is like, pumpkin pie to me is I'll eat pumpkin pie, put a little bit of Cool Whip on it, it's fine. But if there's if there's ever anything else out there, I'm probably going with whatever's out there besides pumpkin pie, if that makes sense.
It does. I would go with a pecan pie.
Oh, yeah.
It's my favorite there.
Yeah, I love that.
So,
but any kind of, like, apple pie or pumpkin pie? I was like, well, I'll go with apple.
Sure.
Cherry or pumpkin? I'll go with cherry.
The little warrant.
Yeah.
Cherry pie.
Yeah, there you go. Start seeing that. No, but, you know, whatever. But pumpkin, even if it's like cake or something else,
sure.
I'm still probably going to go with that. Although on Thanksgiving, you do see some like weird dishes that you don't
somebody
see
might,
throughout the year. Somebody might bring something that's got like a Jell-O and a marshmallow thing going together, or
some sort of casserole.
So, there's a casseroles are broccoli or green beans,
stuff
you don't normally see during the year.
Well, I was hoping too. I was telling Emily, and obviously Thursday we'll be watching football. I said, man, I hope Wednesday night that Planes, Trains, and Automobiles comes us.
Yeah.
I think that's both John Candy and Steve Martin's best movie. Spoiler alert, it's a heck of a tearjerker at the end there, but that is undoubtedly the greatest Thanksgiving movie ever made.
Yeah, it's classic.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's a beauty. But I hope y'all have a Thanksgiving. I hope your parents have a great one.
And same to you and
man,
yours and all your family.
The King Man, you got to get that jersey on him. For Thursday, get him ready for the. Does he like putting it on at all? Or is it kind of a.
It's a little. He doesn't seem. It's kind of weird when you put either like the harness or the jersey on him. He starts like walking and rubbing up against the walls like he's trying to like slide out of.
I don't like this.
Yeah, so he ain't crazy about it, but he'll pose for a couple of minutes. And then we take him out of it.
The picture that Carol put up of him and he had the head cocked to the side.
Oh yeah,
that is. Beyond adorable.
Well, are you getting yours in jerseys or what's going on?
Well, we've got the sweaters ready. But the thing is, Dave, you're up very early. We went out this morning. It's cold, but then, you know, I think the high on Thursday is supposed to be like 71.
Yeah.
So when you got like you go from, say, 38 or 39 in the morning to 70 in the afternoon, it could make it tough to dress. That goes for canines, too.
No, you're
right.
So
maybe sweater in the morning and then, you know, all natural the rest of the day.
And it's funny, a week from today, the high is supposed to be 46.
Good gosh.
With a low of 27.
Good gosh.
So next week, you know, got some cooler temps.
We'll have to wear pants next week.
Exactly. Exactly. Hey, well, this has been episode 164 of the crossover. Dave and Jeff along with you. Thanks so much for joining us again. 960 The Ref, the 960 The Ref app. In the App Store for your iPhone, Google Play for your Android, and we love doing this.
It's awesome.
And the Thanksgiving edition is always a lot of fun. It's a little different this year because we're not talking about tech, but we are still, still here talking sports, and hopefully Georgia will go to Columbia on Saturday, Jeff, and take care of business.
Get a win, and if we're up by 5, whatever you do, JT, if we have to run out the clock, don't just set that football down. Take a knee when that clock hits 0.
1986. James Jackson.
Coach Shuler said he barely did the post-game interview. We're getting off this field, getting on the bus. I don't even know if the team showered night.
That was... That was
as Jerry Clower would say,
That's right. Hey, have a happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for listening to the Crossover Podcast on 960 The Ref and the 960 The Ref app.
You've been listening to the Crossover on 960theref.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.